In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So after our service this morning, we have our annual general meeting, which obviously we're going to be dealing with a number of administrative and institutional matters. But there's more to it than that. Marriage is a wonderful institution, said Groucho Marx, and then added, but who wants to live in an institution? And institutions are somehow suspect in many people's minds today, whether it is government or the banks, or yes, even the church. All are mistrusted in favour of a free-range, pick-and-mix, do-your-own-thing attitude. As far as the church is concerned, believing, not belonging, and a sort of spiritual, not religious, attitude has been around for a long time. We have generations of Christianity as a lifestyle choice, combined with a mistrust of institutional or organized religion. On the religion and spirituality shelves of any bookshop, you'll probably find at least one book that tells you Jesus did not come to found a church. Well, anyone who says that just hasn't read their Bible properly. The gathering in the upper room between Easter and Pentecost is the church in embryo. And today, in the scene by the lakeside, we are given some indication of what the church is actually for. How it is the heart of God's project. Jesus' question and answer session with Peter is also telling us that there is a connection between our faith and the vocation of the whole church. Three times Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" It's a question about a two-way relationship. If we imagine the scene, Jesus and Peter are facing each other, looking at each other at that point. And then when Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," Jesus makes him look in another direction. "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." And what do we know about sheep? Well, they keep together in a flock. They relate to each other as well as to the shepherd for safety, support, for learning. Sheep have a mysterious way of passing on memory. It's called hefting in English, where a flock knows where it, you know, what its territory is. And somehow, as I say, they seem to pass that on from one generation to another, as indeed we do when we meet together in church. So when Jesus is talking about his lambs and his sheep, it's clear that he sees his followers as a flock. And of course, a flock is a long-established term for the church. So in what ways, then, is the church at the heart of God's project? Well, for a start, it is a communion, a community, if you like. Think of our first reading from the book of Revelation. It's describing a vision of heaven. A heaven with thousands and thousands of people and all creatures, the whole of creation. You're not on your own in heaven. In fact, if you were, it might be rather more like hell. Heaven is a perfect community. And the church on earth, in spite of all its failings, gives us a glimpse of what heaven is like. In fact, the church on earth is already caught up in God's project. The question that Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Where else did Peter get asked basically the same question three times? Not so long ago, in the courtyard of the high priest. This time, Peter's answer is very different. No longer is he denying Jesus, but saying, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." I wonder why his answer is so different. He might have been feeling guilty at first, as indeed all the disciples were, trying to run away and go fishing. But is Jesus accusing him, blaming him, telling him how rotten he is to have denied him at that time? No. Jesus shows forgiveness, acceptance. He gives Peter something to do, feed my sheep. He gives him that chance to put things right. Or to use another term, he gives him the chance to redeem himself. Because Jesus is our Redeemer. And that is what happens every time we come to church. We hear that God forgives us and offers us new life. We are experiencing for ourselves what God's project is. In spite of our faults, he says, come. Come to that banquet which I have prepared for you. We are accepted into his community, along with all the other redeemed sinners sitting around us. And Jesus' instructions to Peter then, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. The church is where we are fed. Just think for a moment, what is your favourite food? If you only had that, and you only ate what you like, then the result would be, it would be boring, might even be bad for you. And I'm sure all our mothers at some time have said, eat up your vegetables, even when we didn't want to. We'd rather go on to the pudding. I remember once meeting someone who worked in the factory of Mars, the famous maker of sweets and chocolate. And he said, when people started work in that factory, they were told, you can have anything you like from the conveyor belt as it goes past you. And he said, but you know, after about 10 days, none of us wanted any chocolate anymore. And they never had a problem with people stealing their products. Yes, it's hard to believe, isn't it? But there you go. That's what he told me. So when the church feeds us, it's not simply something we happen to like, because, as I say, that would be boring, possibly bad for us. And it's why Jesus called his church into being, because a do-it-yourself, pick-and-mix discipleship can be shallow and in danger of being led astray by the latest fads and fashions. And we all know with sheep, if they go astray, that is very dangerous. And so as far as the church is concerned, Groucho got it wrong. Because it was instituted by Jesus Christ himself, it is an institution that gives us life. An institution we do want to live in. Amen.